Welcome to Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a day it is. Imagine that Christ rose from the dead, never to die again. In fact, in Revelation 1, 17 and 18, he says, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." I mean, what a resurrection this was, that Christ would be alive forevermore, and we will follow like after him. And we're going to look at that in the sermon a little bit later on as well. But we want to celebrate that this morning, that we, you know, in him we have hope and joy, we have strength and comfort, we have security. All of these things we find in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing a couple of songs and prepare our hearts just as we worship together before we even listen to the word of God. Let's pray and commit this time into God's hands. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this precious time that we have here together this morning. Thank you for gathering your people, Lord, in a manner like this, at a time like this, to remember the eternal truth that you, O God, have raised your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in power to glory, O God. And right now, the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and everything is being made a footstool, O God, at your feet. And we worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, O God, for this amazing thing that you have done for us to behold, for us to know through the scriptures, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, so that we might be able to believe in Christ Jesus. And by believing in him, we may have life in his name. And so we worship a Lord that wasn't simply crucified and buried like many others, but was in fact raised on the third day because death could not have a hold on him. So we ask your blessing, Lord, at this time as we sing these songs and as we worship. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and lead us through this time for God's glory. And in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's sing our first song. But before we do that, it'll be great to read from the scriptures a little bit of that account of that first day, that first resurrection day, if you like. And I'm going to ask Sharon to read for us.
Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me."
Amazing, isn't it? Let's sing this first song. King of Kings is what it's called.
From a morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb has conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fail. By His blood and in His name, it is freedom marked and free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Let's sing together, praise the Father, the Son.
Song that says, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. I just love that name. Just imagine life without that name, Jesus. Would it make a difference? I can think for myself, and I can't imagine life without knowing the name of Jesus. The name that brings peace and comfort and security and hope and joy and contentment. That name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, O Christ.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is.
Death could not hold you, the veil tore before.
powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Let's prepare our hearts to listen to God's word at this time.
Let's pray as we listen to God's word at this time. Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us, how precious it is for us to take up and to know that you have spoken to us and not left us to try and figure things out on our own, but you've told us truth in your scriptures, Lord Jesus. And even as we take up this eternal word of God at this time, I pray that your spirit would impart it to us, teach us and lead us and into all truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at Romans chapter 6 from verses 1 through to verse 11. And I'm following along after the Good Friday service, which was in chapter 5 from 12 to 21. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, then I encourage you to listen to that as well. You can go back and listen to the previous video, and there's a message on that from Romans chapter 5. But this morning we want to spend time in that next section in chapter 6, verses 1 through to verse 11. And I'm going to read it for us, and you can follow along in your Bibles, and then we'll jump into this passage that's before us. All right? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through to verse 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is God's word. May God bless the reading of his word. We're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. We're remembering the resurrection of Christ. And we know from the scriptures that he rose, never to die again. We talked about that over here. And he's right now in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. And everything is being brought to his footstool under his authority. That's what's happening at this present time. And so we are here to celebrate Christ's resurrection. And everything, let me say everything, is moving decisively in that one direction, that one goal, where Christ will rule and reign over his creation. It's all moving in that direction. It doesn't feel like it. There feels like a lot of turmoil and a lot of breaking down of things in this world. But the scriptures tell us that that's going to happen before the return of Christ. So don't be disheartened by the things that you see. Be encouraged, because we're moving even more with a greater pace towards the end, when Christ will return. And he's alive forevermore. We serve a risen Savior. We serve him, a risen Savior. Now the focus of this passage is on the new life of a believer. Now the basis for the new life is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's the resurrection of Christ that makes all the difference. Not simply the crucifixion. If there was no resurrection after the crucifixion, then Christ's death would be like every other death. And many other people have died on crosses. Many other people have been put to death in different ways. And if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then the crucifixion would have no meaning in that sense. What really makes the difference is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you a few verses over here. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17, for instance. Here's what Paul writes. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still
in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, your faith and my faith, it's a futile faith. And I'm still in my sins, is what the scriptures are saying. And so our new life and our eternal hope are firmly tied to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question that Paul is dealing with in Romans chapter 6 is what we're looking at, is this. Are we to continue in sin so that God's grace can continue to abound? That's the question. In other words, if my sin makes God look so good, because His grace is so magnificent, isn't it okay then if I continue on in my sin? And the answer to that question is a resounding no, never. In fact, he says over here, by no means, may it never be. Some of your translations say that. By no means is that a good reason for you to continue in sin at all. The basis for such a response, when Paul says by no means, the basis for this response that he makes is that if you died with Christ, which you did, then you are also being raised with Christ, which you are. Why would you go back to the old? Why would you go back to the old life if you have been raised to a new way of living and the old self has died? You know, we recently got a little puppy dog for ourselves. Her name is Chloe. A lot of fun. Everybody's enjoying her in the home. One of the things that dogs are known for or known to do is that when they have a little bit of a disturbance in their stomachs, they regurgitate their food and they vomit it out and then they go back to eat it. And I know that's a terrible analogy to kind of begin with. But the Bible actually uses this picture of a person who actually returns to their foolish way of living as being like a dog that goes back to its vomit. In fact, Proverbs 26 verse 11 says this. It says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. To go back, in other words, end quotations over here, to go back to enjoying sin in our lives after we have been united with Christ is foolishness. It's foolishness. It's like a dog that goes back to its vomit. And so Paul makes a good case over here. He says, you died with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. Why would you go back? Why would you go back? So in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, Paul is going to talk about the resurrection as being the basis for our new way of living. That's what we want to focus on. Our new way of living, the basis for it is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse 5, look with me at verse 5 and see what he says over here. He says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And that's that last bit that I actually want to focus on. I want to pick up from rather this morning. We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And so we want to ask the question, what was Jesus's resurrection like? Because if we know what his resurrection was like, then we know what our resurrection will also be like one day. We want to understand that. We want to unpack that a little bit more. Now, there are three things to observe about Christ's resurrection. Three things that we want to observe from this passage. And I'll take you to 1 Corinthians 15 as well. One, the first one is that without it, the resurrection itself is impossible. We'll talk about that. And the other two are unique about Christ's resurrection. And we want to pick up these three. So here are the three points, and then we'll jump into them one at a time. Number one, he was raised by God's power. He was raised by God's power. Number two, he was raised never to die again. And number three, he was raised imperishable in his humanity. And we'll talk about that as well. These are important because our resurrection is going to be like Christ's resurrection. Our resurrection is going to be like Christ's resurrection. I want to show you a couple of other verses before we get into those points that tell us that our resurrection is going to be like the Lord Jesus' resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, and I'll read this for you. It says here, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ." Now that word first fruits is repeated a few times in this passage, and it means the first of a harvest. That's where the sense comes from. The first of the harvest is the first fruits that were usually given as an offering in the temple. And what is being used from that picture over here is that Christ's resurrection was the first fruits of the many resurrections that are to come. He's the first of the type of the many resurrections that are to come. He's the first fruits. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 21, it says over here, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his own glorious body." You got it? So we're going to be, our resurrection will be like Christ because he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. It's going to be in the same way that Christ's is. Therefore, it's important for us to dwell on Christ's own resurrection, which is what we're celebrating today, in order for us to understand our own resurrection that is to come. One more point from Romans chapter 6 that I want you to observe over here. Romans chapter 6 verse 3. You got it? Yeah, Romans 6 verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Now that word baptized is an interesting one. We were baptized into his death. What does that mean? I think verse 5 in the same chapter, verse 5 helps us understand what that the sense of baptism is over here. Verse 5 says this, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." You got that? So the word baptized means to be united with. That's the sense of the word baptized, to be united with him. We're baptized with Christ or into Christ. We are united with Christ. They both go together. And God does this for us. He makes us one with Christ in his death on the cross. It was as if we died. You got that? When Christ died on the cross, you, by faith in him, are reckoned dead also by God on the cross. Now, it doesn't end over there because Christ rose again. And so if that's true of Christ, then you also have, for now, risen again. You've been given a new life. But there was one day coming, a resurrection of your body as well, that's going to happen because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of Christ. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I love that. I have been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I died. When Christ died on the cross, my old self, by faith in Jesus, my old self died on the cross as well. And now the life I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. This is important because the basis of our hope, it is the basis of our hope in Christ's resurrection. To be united with him in his death means that we will also be united with him in his resurrection. We were one with him on the cross. We are one with him in his resurrection as well. So let's jump into those three points and look at Christ's resurrection and take up each of those three that I mentioned to you before. Number one, we want to observe about Christ's resurrection is that he was raised by God's power. He was raised by God's power. Now come with me to chapter 6 verse 4, and I want you to see what Paul is writing over here. He says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father." Let's just stop over there. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's what he's saying is the way in which Christ was raised from the dead. Now that's simply another way of saying or speaking of God's glorious power. When it says that Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, he's talking about God's power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. You see, resurrection from the dead is an impossibility unless God is involved in it. There is absolutely not a single resurrection in the history of the world that can happen without God's involvement in it. Much more so Christ's resurrection in that sense. God was absolutely involved in it, because when something is made alive, God gets the glory, because only God can raise from the dead. And so in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4, it says, "For he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God." There you have it, the power of God. Ephesians 1:19, I love this verse because it's speaking about God's power that is at work in us. And Paul is saying, I want you to know that power that is at work in you. And then he goes on to say, "What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might." So here are those superlatives about God's power over here. And then he says in verse 20 of Ephesians 1:20, that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, God's power, is the power that is at work within us. Now the point here is that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the greatness of God's glorious power, so also shall we be raised from the dead. If Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, then we too, like him, will be raised by the power of God. By the power of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 says this: "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus," that's God's spirit, "who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Amazing, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. The Spirit, and it reminds me of Genesis chapter 1, when it says that the earth was formless and void. There was nothing there. It was absolute emptiness. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And if we know from the scriptures in Genesis chapter 1 that God, out of nothing, ex nihilo, created absolutely everything. And he did it by his Spirit and by his word. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He created absolutely everything. He spoke it into existence. And not only did he speak these into existence, he continues to sustain these things in their existence. These trillions of stars in the galaxies, in the universe. God upholds it. God created it. And we know from Isaiah 40 that he calls them all by name. What power! And this is the power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That's what raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And that same power will one day raise you and me from the dead, just as he did Christ. Which brings us to the second observation about Christ's resurrection. He was raised never to die again. The Lord Jesus was raised never to die again. And this is a unique one about Christ and his resurrection. You see, in the Old Testament of the Bible, there were resurrections of the dead. And in the New Testament, even in the Gospels, during Christ's earthly ministry, there were those that came back to life. And I can think of Talitha, the little girl, I can think of Lazarus, the close friend of Jesus, whom Jesus raised up from the dead. He came out of the tomb. I can think of those many people that came out of their tombs when Christ was on the cross and he finally gave up his spirit. The temple of the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and it says the graves were opened and many came out of those graves back to life. So there's evidences in the scriptures of people coming back to life. But you know what? They all died. Eventually, they all died. The first fruits of the final resurrection needed to take place. The first fruits. Remember, we talked about that word. Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. That needed to happen. And so when Christ rose again, he rose never to die again. And everyone in Christ Jesus who rises from the dead will never die again. That's what he's saying. That's the point that he's making over here. When Christ rose again, he arose never to die again. Romans chapter 6 verse 9, it says over here, it says, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. That's what we're talking about. He rose never to die again. In Romans chapter 1 verses 17 and 18, the Lord Jesus says of himself, he says, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died and behold, I am alive forevermore. What words? He says, fear not, don't worry. I am alive forevermore. Don't worry. This is so important and amazing for us to meditate on. So important. You see, in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the eternal and divine Son of God took our humanity on himself. And in his resurrection from the dead, lifted our humanity to a position of immortality. Here was the second Adam who rose never to die again. The first Adam, God brought him forth and he died. The second Adam, the divine Son of God, taking on our humanity on himself, lifted it to a position of immortality. In other words, right now, in the presence of God, there is a man, Christ Jesus, who's standing there in the presence of God and will never face death again. Imagine how our humanity has been lifted to the heights of glory. And like him, if we have trusted in Christ Jesus, we too, like him, the first fruits, we too will be caught up to be with him forever and ever. Amazing. Amazing. What a promise. And I love Revelation 21, for instance, in verse 4, you have this beautiful promise. At the end of it all, here's the promise. It says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Beautiful promise, isn't it? There shall be death no more. Which brings us to the third observation about Christ's resurrection, and this is another uniqueness of his resurrection, is that he was raised imperishable and immortal in his humanity. He was raised imperishable and immortal in his humanity. This too is unique about Christ's resurrection. You see, all other people who were raised to life, and I talked to you about a few of them just a few minutes ago, all of them ended up getting old, probably falling ill again, and they died. But Christ was raised never to die again, and he was raised imperishable. There is absolutely no decay whatsoever, no breakdown whatsoever in this resurrected Christ Jesus. Now, we have to be careful over here because we're speaking about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in his divinity, he is and was the imperishable and immortal Son of God. But when Christ the Son of God, this eternal, immortal, imperishable Son of God, took on humanity in his incarnation at Christmas. He added to himself, he took on himself humanity. And so somehow mysteriously in this being of Christ, you have these two natures, the divine nature, full and complete and perfect, and the human nature, full, which Christ has now raised to perfection, lifting it to glory and immortality. That's what we're talking about, that has been raised to immortality and to being imperishable. Now, we don't have time to go into 1 Corinthians 15, which is a great passage, by the way, a great chapter on the resurrection. It's probably the chapter of the chapters on the resurrection, and I encourage you to read it at some point. But I want to point out a couple of verses to you in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 and 43. Here's what he says. Paul is writing, he says, "So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." And he's talking about our resurrection, how it was nothing and now it's become something. It was something sown in dishonor, but is now raised in glory. And so he's talking about our resurrection. But you come a little bit further to verses 47 to 49, and we understand that that is possible because it happened first with Christ. Let me read these verses to you. "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven." We talked about this in the previous sermon. It's interesting, it comes back here again. "As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." You got that? So just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we were all like that in Adam once. Now we bear the image of Christ. And so we will be raised imperishable, immortal. That's what he says, because Christ was raised imperishable in that sense. "Those who are alive when Christ returns will be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the trumpet call of God. And those who are dead will be raised imperishable." What a final victory that is going to be. And all of this is possible because Christ has gone before us. That's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Christ was raised by the power of God. He was raised never to die again. And he was raised imperishable in his humanity. What an amazing truth this is. So what difference should this make to my life now? I mean, it's all great stuff and we celebrate it. But what difference should it actually make to my life right now? Can't I just wait for the return of Christ when all of this will take place and I'll be raised, you know, imperishable and immortal and transformed into the likeness of Christ? Does my life here matter if I'm going to be raised to a new life one day? Well, this comes back to what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 6, where he begins with the question, "Should I continue in sin so that grace may abound?" Comes back to that. And his answer was a resounding no, because we are united with Christ in his death. Let me come bring you to verses 10 and 11 of Romans chapter 6 and see what Paul says here. He says, "For the death he died," and he's speaking about Christ's death, "the death he died to sin," right? "Once for all. But the life he lives to God." The life he lives to God. Jesus continues now in perfect fellowship with God, completely in tune with God. Having destroyed and defeated sin on the cross, he now lives in perfect fellowship with God. That's the new life. It's a life that is born to be brought into fellowship with God. God resurrects us. He brings us back to life, spiritually speaking. And then, of course, in the day to come when Christ returns physically and spiritually back to life, so that we might have fellowship with Him. We might have fellowship with Him. In fact, John chapter 17 verse 2, I believe it is, it says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's what it is. That's what eternal life is, to be in fellowship with God, to know God. In the same way, Paul says that we should consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. You have a new life now. Don't go back to the old way of living. Like that dog that goes back to its vomit. Don't go back to that. You have a new life, a new glory, a new honor, a new dignity, a new purpose that God has given to you in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God for giving us such a living hope and a new life. We don't worship or serve someone who is dead, some great speaker or teacher or religious person who doesn't exist anymore. We serve someone who is the living God, who is alive, never to die again. We serve Him and we're called to follow Him. It makes sense to follow someone who has been through death, is alive now forevermore. It makes sense to follow someone who knows where they're going. I remember some years ago when we had to drive up to Missouri. I think it was for a camp. And so we wanted to drive this time, and I'd never driven to Missouri, and this was before we had Google Maps, and so I really wasn't sure about the route. And so one of our friends said, "Look, I'm also going to Missouri. Why don't you follow me?" And so we thought, that's a great idea. Let's just do that. And so we got into the car, and I remember we left like early in the morning at about 4:30 or so. And because he knew the way, he says, "It's best to go at this time. You beat the traffic, you get through all of the busyness of the Delhi border, and then you'll be in Dehradun, we'll have breakfast, and you'll be in Missouri." And so he had it all planned out because he had gone there before several times. And so we followed him, and it made a huge difference. And sure enough, I mean, we lost him a couple of times, and he was waiting around the corner for us. And we found, when we followed him, we got there easy. Without a problem, really. We got there to Missouri. We got to our destination because we were following someone who knew the way. Well, on the way back, he wasn't coming back to Delhi at that point. He had some other work. And so we had to drive back on our own. And sure enough, we got lost a couple of times on the way back, for sure. It's interesting to be able to follow someone who knows the way. And you know, Jesus says in the Bible, he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you and I want to know the way to God and the way to fellowship with God and the way to eternal life and the way to God's power and God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy in our lives, the way to that is through Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus knows what he's talking about. He knows absolutely everything about life. He knows about death, and he knows about life beyond the grave as well. It makes sense for us to follow him in this life and with a hope for the life to come. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as you celebrate His resurrection today, follow Him. May God bless you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And I'll pray and I'll give you the benediction at this point. And then we will have a closing song that will play, and you can worship God through that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word to us this morning. Thank you for your resurrection and for the hope of life that we have, because you have gone before us as the first fruits. You were raised by God's power. You were raised never to die again. And you were raised imperishable in your humanity. And we will be likewise raised in that way. Help us, Lord, to follow after you without a shadow of a doubt, to follow after you in faith and in hope and in trust. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word this morning. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us now and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. You can listen to this closing track for your meditation. God bless you.
From the pages of the prophets, he stepped down into the world and walked the earth in lowly majesty. For he had been creator, a creature now was he. Come to bear love's sacred mystery. He, the truth, was called a liar, the only lover hated so. He was many times a martyr before he died. Forsaken by the Father, despised by all the world, he alone was born to be the crucified. On the cross of glory, his death was life to me, a sacrifice of love's most sacred mystery. And death rejoiced to hold him, for soon he would be free. For love must always have the victory. Though no rhyme could ever tell it, and no words could ever sing, and no chord is foul enough to sing the pain, still we feel the burden and suffer with your song. We love us so, and yet you bid us sing. On the cross of glory, his death was life to me, a sacrifice of love's most sacred mystery. And death rejoiced to hold him, for soon he would be free. For love must always have the victory. On the cross of glory, his death was life to me, a sacrifice of love's most sacred mystery. And death rejoiced to hold him, for soon he would be free. For love must always have the victory. For love must always have the victory.